Good morning, guys. It is good to see you in the place of worship. You are at the right time, in the right place with both here and outside. I'm so happy to see you. And, oh yeah, I have a few announcements. Before that one, we had leadership training yesterday morning. It went really good, and Bruce gave us a fantastic presentation. Oh, wow. He's awesome. And we learned a lot, and we also talked about the future of our church and denomination, and we had about 28 people. Yeah, it was really good. And thank you so much for joining, for those who participated, and we will work together. And this after the second service, we will have potluck, so you may remain. After the service, you may remain and join them as well. Okay, and during the week, we have a couple of team meetings, so please find the information in your bulletin, mission team and worship team and card ministry team. And men's group, we will have No Regret Conference in our church, in our sanctuary, on the first Saturday of February. So please let all the boys know this program. And today, Wendy is our liturgist. Let's center our mind and worship God.
Good morning. Good to see you all today. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. The voice of God resounds upon the water. The Spirit of the Lord hovers over the stream. The Son of God is named Beloved. And all who worship shout out glory. Ascribe to the Lord majesty and strength. Let us worship God in holy splendor. Please join with me in the opening hymn, Spirit Song. And Judy says we all have to sing really loudly today. Oh, what? Just me.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your hearts and satisfy your soul. Let Him have the things that hold you and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you teach us, for Jesus, come and fill your land. Teach us, for Jesus, come and fill your land.
Amen. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. Maybe I can stand right here. I can see all of you. We have a few people who have birthday during the week. James Melton and Lynn Hammer. Wendy! Happy birthday!
Well, thank you.
And Debbie, Carol, Fabian, Elle, Diane. Oh, Elle and Diane, they are a couple. One day apart, that's good. So you can send a card or make a phone call. Now, I'd like to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayer request up to God? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And our vestibular system is messed up, so she is constantly dizzy and constantly nauseous. So trying to get her referral.
When are you going to Johns Hopkins? When?
We don't know
yet.
Paperwork through and see if they'll take her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So please remember Sydney in your prayer. It's been a while, quite a long time. She has been battling with that situation. So please remember Sydney in your prayers. Thank you. Thank you. Any other joys and concerns? Would you like to talk about James?
Sure. James had surgery 2.5 weeks ago and on his back. It was the best case scenario. It could have been cancer, it could have been a tumor and all this. It was just an erupted disc, which is no picnic, but it was the best case scenario, and he's recovering better day after day, and it just takes time to recover. So thank you for everybody for your prayers.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Please continue to have James in your prayers. And also, we have been praying for many people. Please remember Marion Kick, David Six, Kevin Newland, and Reverend Normal Parson. Please remember them. And it was my joy yesterday morning. Wow. Fantastic presentation and very nice snack prepared by Renee Duncan. And it was happy. I was really happy to see many people. And you can hear more later. So, and now let's turn to God and pray. Loving God, as a community of faith, we come close to you, Lord, worship you, and share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, because we believe in you, Lord. We believe you listen to our cries, and you have never left us alone, nor failed to watch out. God, this morning come and have Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. We have many peoples that we have been praying for, Lord. Remember each one of them, especially this morning. Remember Sydney, Lord. As she's struggling and fighting, God, give us strength. When she feels frustration, Lord, give her comfort and peace and hope and strengthen her immune system. And Lord, we ask for your healing hand on Sydney, James, Gloria, Grant, Marion, and Dave and Kevin, and more. We need you, Lord. We need you. God, this morning we pray for the leaders of the country, God, as they lead the people of the country and the world and bring a lot of impact on people around the world. God, let them know you are the God of the universe. Let them fear you. Let them know your will. Let them know your love. God, guide them. Guide them to know your will on every decision they make and every work they perform. God, let them yield peace, justice, compassion, and hope in our community, country, and the world, and give us restoration and reconciliation in our polarized world. And we also pray for those who feel lost in their ways, who feel confused, frustrated in many ways. Touch our soul, touch our body, and give us light so that we may walk with you in this journey. Lord, we need you. We need your touch. We need your guidance. We need your strength. We need your peace. Be with us. and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated and let's sing together, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, bright wind, always there, take us anew. Give us the breath to sing, lifted on soaring wing, held in your hand, borne on your wing. Hallelujah, come, Spirit, come. Hallelujah, come, Spirit, come. Spirit of God in all flesh, we hear your call, and life in our hearts, let's sing the power of your grace, we rise, love shining in our eyes, held in your hand, born on your wings. Hallelujah, come, Spirit, come. Hallelujah, come, Spirit, come.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Today's scripture reading, it says, this will be a sign for you. The sign for you. Now I'm checking the point where I need to stand. Which way is fine? If I stand here, you may have, my back. So I will be probably sitting and standing here or over there, moving here and there. From today, we have a new sermon series based on the Gospel of Luke. What does the Gospel of Luke talk about that? What's the characteristic? You know, each one of the Gospels has its characteristic. Different one. Then Luke has its unique perspective and characteristic. And then what does it talk about then? One of the New Testament scholars, John Carroll. He said, the Gospel of Luke, it has status inversion. The status inversion. As he described the impact of Jesus on the people. So it is about Jesus, but mainly about the people. So status. When you think about status, what comes to your mind? Status has, it has various areas that we may know. For instance, the socioeconomic status, that might define you relative to others. And it determines where you are, upper or mid or lower, or mid social economic level. Or you might think of status in terms of education, or terms of the first world or the third world. It is a way of defining where we are compared to others. And sometimes it is a way of defining how you are doing. So if you have a Facebook account, when you give a status update, that's my Facebook account, so you can find that. That defines sort of who I am, what I'm doing, where I live, and how I am doing at the moment. But inversion, it is to turn something on its head, upside down. Status inversion happens in every gospel, but in Luke's gospel, it happens on every chapter, every page. It is like Jesus has the way of inverting the status. I want to give you some example. It is about saints and sinners. Who are the saints and who are the sinners? In the first century, it was so clear. So saints, they were the religious leaders, or the Pharisees. The name Pharisee itself has to do with holiness and purity. So they have to be holy, separate from ordinary people. They were priests, scholars, and rabbis. And the sinners at the time, they were the people who didn't go to church and synagogue, or they were the people who couldn't follow every single religious guideline and direction. They were tax collectors, salespeople, and people who worked with Gentiles, and many workers who had to work for a living even on Sabbath. So they were considered sinners. And at the time, it was clear who were saints and sinners. And some people, some ordinary people, tried to be holy, but they were discouraged by the Pharisees with their high standard. It was a social norm. Okay, they are the saint, but I'm not. Okay, let's leave it there. Everyone understood that status gap. Except Jesus. Except Jesus. Jesus loves to be around with the sinners, eat with them, and have fellowship with them. And he was drawn to them and seemed to turn off the saints. And he tells two parables, only appears in Luke's gospel. The parable of the tax collector and a Pharisee. And you remember that Jesus says, two men came to the temple. One was the Pharisee, a saint, and the other one was a tax collector, a sinner. The Pharisee comes to the temple, and he looks up to the sky, and he said, God, aren't you glad that I'm on your team? I'm involved in every activity, festival, and follow the Ten Commandments and more. That's not enough. So I follow every single rule of Halakha, which was 613 detailed religious guidelines. I'm following that. I'm not just following them. I keep all the stuff. I'm not like that boy, tax collector. God, aren't you glad that I'm on your team? He prayed. And Jesus continues, the tax collector begins to pray, but he couldn't even look up to heaven. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then Jesus asks a question, which one of those is a saint and which one is a sinner? Now we know, of course, the answer. Jesus just inverts the status of those two people. And he shows both the sin of the Pharisee with spiritual pride, narcissism, and arrogance, and the tax collector's humility in the desire to be in the right direction, right relationship with God. And the second parable we can find only in Luke's gospel, that's so famous one, the Good Samaritan. It's so famous. So there were people who encountered a man beaten down on the street, a priest, Levite, and Samaritan. And we know who helped the man on the street, Samaritan. And Jesus asks, which one of them is your neighbor? The answer is so clear. But for them, it was a huge, shocking news, status inversion. It was the Samaritan who was considered a sinner at that time. Throughout reading the Gospel of Luke, we will see many of Jesus' stories like that in his effort to give the real meaning of being God's beloved people in our acts, in our words, on our faith journey. And I want to talk about Christmas story one more time. Matthew and Luke tell the Christmas story from the different angle, different perspective. Matthew's Christmas story is very concise. And it's almost about Joseph's perspective. But Luke's Christmas story is told from Mary's perspective. We need to see both perspectives. But in Matthew's Gospel, when Mary finds she's pregnant, she says, because Joseph was a righteous man, he was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. Yes, we know that part. We know that part, otherwise she will be put to death. Then the angel of the Lord talked to him in his dream and take Mary as his wife. Done. Then you are not going to find Mary from the story. Then where is Mary? Where is Mary's portion in Matthew? But in Luke's gospel, we find that Joseph is on the sideline and the whole story is all about Mary. And we find Mary is living in Nazareth and the angel Gabriel, angel appears to her and said, greetings, highly favored one. It means Mary, this little girl in a low class, is highly favored by God. From their perspective, something impossible just happens. Then angel says, God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God knows you, and God has a great plan for your life. God has chosen you, and this 13 or 14-year-old girl, which was the age of marriage, God has chosen you to bring forth the Son, the Messiah, to save the world. And this story ends with Mary's response. You don't find Joseph in that story. She says, I'm your servant. Let it be with me. Let it be with me according to your will. She offered herself to God. This little girl in a low class to be chosen by God. And you know, when she made a travel to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth found who's in Mary's womb. If you have a Catholic background, you remember this prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Jesus, right there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And she prophesied. I'm really grateful that our church recognizes what the Gospel of Luke recognizes. God has chosen not only both man and woman, but all the people to be in ministry. God created us, all of us, and gave us interesting and unique gift, and invited all of us to use our time, talent, and effort for God's glory, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So many years ago, I met a Baptist. He and I talked about that, and he said, my pastor said he didn't believe that a woman can be an ordained clergy. Huh. And he said, because I live in a Bible Belt, and we don't let women get ordained to baptize the people publicly and consecrate the Holy Communion. Excuse me. A woman named Mary did the most amazing thing throughout human history. And a woman, Mary, could bear the Son of God, and she could bear the bread of life into the world. Then a woman cannot consecrate the Holy Communion and baptize the people? How does that work? And there was a time people have thought it is what it is. Part of what you see in Luke's Gospel is Jesus made status inversion and God's calling to all the people, no matter who we are, no matter what circumstances we have in our physical and spiritual journey. It means even in a moment of our life when we feel we are small and weak because of our physical strengths, because of what we think we have and whom we believe we are, and because of what kind of power and value we feel we have, even at the moment when we don't think we can handle the situation, it is so clear. The main message of the Bible is so clear. God knows you. God is with you. And God has chosen you. And God is calling you to do God's works. And God is willing to do something great. And that's the sign. That's the sign of God's love for you and me. Why don't you count? Why don't you think about what kind of context that I'm living in? What's the struggles that I have now? What's the joy that I have now? It is so clear. With your pain, struggles, or your beloved ones suffering, all of them, God knows you, even with the weakness. It is the sign of God. God has chosen you. and want to do God's work in love. Amen. Here is one of the signs we have. The sign of God's love. The broken bread. And the cup. These are the signs of God's unconditional love. It's not just love. The calling in our lives. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, you know each one of our needs, struggles, and hopes. God, we give you thanks for your presence, your courage. Lord, if we need more of you, when we need more of your courage, God, grant us your hand. Grant us your light. Bless each one of us. And bless these elements of the Holy Communion. God, make these bread and wine the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, God, make us the body of Jesus Christ redeemed by his blood. As we take this sign of your love, fill us with your love. Fill us with your spirit. Amen. Oh, strong. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Hey, buddy. Body of Christ. Wow, with a small number of people in this room, maybe I can come close to you and make an eye contact from time to time, very moment, yes. This moment, let's think about what's happening in your life during the week, what happened, and did you find God's hand, did you find joy, or did you find, yes, I'm really grateful. Oh.
We have no more minors.
Oh. God, I'm done. Yeah, that's joy. Yeah, they are on their feet. Yes, right. You're grateful for that. Don't you feel cold? Yeah, he's young. I'm so grateful to see them because they were little, but now they are boys, big boys. Great men. Yeah. It's my honor to see you are growing for years. Yes. And you. Yesterday was my reason, many reasons to be grateful. I was grateful for the great presentation. I was grateful for the great leaders in our church. And I was grateful that we talked about what you're going to do this year. And I was grateful that we touched hot potato yesterday. Yeah, some of you are smiling. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be tough this year and next year, yet I see hope. God's hand leading us. Finding God's hand in our life, that is the biggest reason to be grateful. And I'm grateful. With all the gratitude what God has done in our life and God will do in our community. We present ourselves, God, I belong to you. I will follow you and present our time, mind, and talent, resource to God. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we are thankful for your love and mercy on our life and grateful for your providence. May these gifts we return to you be a sign of our dedication to live as your faithful daughters and sons, born in the waters of baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
What do we sing? Okay, let's sing together, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, verses 2 and 3.
Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. In my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, I want to be holy in my heart, Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. In my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart.
Please remain standing and receive the benediction. As we go into the world, let us go forth as God's beloved ones. And let us share God's message of love and transformation in our family, in our neighborhood, and community. So now go as those who embody God's blessing, love, grace, and peace. Go. Strengthened by this naming and claiming God to bring God's beloved community here and there. Amen. Jesus, moonlight. Oh, moonlight. Fill my heart with hope. Jesus, more like you. Touch my lips with holy fire and make me more like you.